All right, the dulcet tones of Chris Cross, 9:40 Pacific time. Rick Tittle with you on a Tuesday. That means it's time to talk to our friends at SalesportsTalk.com, and co-hosting this segment once again is Karen Lyle, who joins me from the Royal Thames Yacht Club in Blighty. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. In fact, couldn't be better. And just a little bit ahead of you in time, maybe about 8 hours. I don't know how we do that, you know, but we do.
Yes, it's a spherical, somewhat spherical planet. We have also with us Richard Ambler, who is the chief sailing officer of that Royal Thames Yacht Club as well. Richard, and do you know that you're with someone from the peerage, that Karen is actually part of the, I don't want to say royal family, but she has been feted and suited and booted there?
Well, I have to clarify, because I'm in London and these things are really accurate here. So I don't know. He and I will talk about the truth of this matter.
Okay. Anyway, Richard, welcome. Tell us about your job as CSO, please.
Well, I look after the sailing program, and the Royal Thames this year was 250 years old. We were founded sort of about the same time as your country, really. And so we've been really celebrating it with sailing regattas. And one of the main things I was organizing was this pageant up the Thames River to celebrate our connection with the Thames. And I had the pleasure of leading a group of nearly 40 boats of different sizes, 128-foot classics down to motorboats through Tower Bridge. So I actually had the job of calling up the bridge and asking them if they'd kindly open the road. And so that I don't think I'll ever get to do again in my life. And to give you a little bit of context, President Clinton was going for lunch with Tony Blair on the south side of the river, and somebody called the bridge to be opened. So the Secret Service said that, you know, they can't have that. And they said, I'm afraid the river traffic has rights over road traffic. And even if you're president of the United States, the Tower Bridge has to open. Wow. So they had to sit in traffic. And so I caused another traffic jam by calling the bridge to be open myself.
And I have to ask, Richard, did they open the bridge?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Well, I had been there and been there before. I mean, one of the things about opening the bridge is it's not just you clicker and open the bridge, because you've got to make sure the lights go to red. And they showed me a picture of what happens when they get it wrong, which was in 1957, a double-decker red bus. They forgot to turn the lights to red, and the driver of that bus was an ex-bomber pilot, and he was coming up the bridge and realized it was opening. And he had two choices: either hit the brakes and crash into the gap, or jump it. So he jumped it.
And, oh, my goodness.
And he was given £10 and the day off for bravery.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
So now they're very cautious about the lights. And so that takes about 15 minutes to get the whole bridge open. And then we shot through. And then, of course, you can't go any further because London Bridge is a road bridge, the next bridge. So you have to turn around, and then they have to open it again for you. It was all quite fun. And we had a cannon, signal cannon on the leading boat, which I have to say was pretty loud.
Now, I'm assuming no projectiles, right?
No projectiles. Yes. We were asked that question in our risk assessment, and we said we don't think so.
See, now, when I did this in San Francisco with the Hawaiian Chieftain on the 125th anniversary of the Pacific Interclub Yacht Association, we had to get a license from the police that told exactly how many shots we could have, and it specified what times it was and said, no projectiles.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we had to define the killing zone. I said, well, you know, probably not very far. But these are questions you have to go through. And, of course, the river's a little bit more organized now. But in the old days, Tower Bridge used to open 20, 30 times a day because there was a lot of shipping. Now nobody goes through except fools like us, you know. So, of course, people go through it without it open. If you've got a 11-meter airdraft, you can go through.
Very good.
Getting it open is quite exciting.
No doubt. I had the distinct pleasure of going the other way west to Hampton Court and going past, you know, the Battersea power station, and they were redoing Craven Cottage for Fulham at that time. I got to see the church where Benedict Arnold was buried, and then wrapping around Kingston. But the most important and most impressive thing for me was going up and down through those series of locks. And it got to the point where I almost felt like I was in Somerset or the Cotswolds or something. It's really lovely over there.
Well, the Cotswolds is very topical with you guys in America right now. There seem to be more Americans in the Cotswolds than there are Brits. So,
so I wanted to ask you, Richard, you are about, by the way, I have to tell you, Rick, that I was able to kind of snag Richard before he gives a lecture here for the Royal Thames Yacht Club on his trip to French Polynesia. So speaking of that trip, tell us a little bit about your boat and how long that trip was, and just a highlight of a few of the places you went.
Well, I was very fortunate. I met a member here who owned the boat, and I'd always wanted one as an Oyster 49-foot, and they only made 15 of them. And he prepared it for a round-the-world trip and got as far as French Polynesia. And then COVID struck, and so he decided to sell it. And I was stupid enough to buy it without seeing it. But I trusted him as a member. And so I have to be honest and say I cheated and bought the boat there. But people, particularly over this way, do not know where French Polynesia is. And they think it's sort of Fiji or Australia or somewhere. But it's actually as far from anywhere as you can get. And yet the French Polynesia is 3,000 miles. And it's as big as Europe. So, you know, when people say, oh, you've been there five times, you're not getting bored of it. You're kind of not really scratching the surface. So it varies from amazing atolls. If anyone's ever seen the British program Planet Earth, the wall of sharks is filmed there, and so it's beautiful, beautiful, unspoiled atolls, and very few people. 250,000 people live in the whole of this area, most of them in Tahiti. It's peculiarly half French. So you can buy baguettes stores. They don't know why, because they, you know. And so it varies from, you know, slightly developed to still incredibly unspoiled. And I have to say, if anyone is a sailor who wants to cruise, who also dives, then this has got to be on their bucket list.
Ah, do you dive?
We don't. I had an accident when I was young and broke an eardrum, and I've been told to be very careful with it. But but snorkeling is just as good. Mm-hmm. I did have my brother-in-law come who doesn't like swimming with fish, so he didn't swim once in 5 weeks. So if you don't like swimming with sharks, with rays, with manta rays, then this is not the place to go. But if you do, it's definitely should be on the bucket list.
Sounds like my place. Yes.
When
you
I
were going to say,
go ahead, Karen.
No, this is your turn.
Richard, when I think about a Brit sailing into Tahiti, I of course think of the Bounty and, you know, William Bligh and Fletcher Christian and everyone, and then, you know, putting in a launch 4,000 nautical miles to East Timor. When you're coming into Tahiti and you see some of the unspoiled nature to the days of, you know, I love going to the Maritime Museum at, you know, in Greenwich and seeing that old stuff. Do you kind of think back to the days of, you know, when Britannia ruled the waves like that?
Well, interesting you say that. But, of course, in Maria, which is right by Tahiti, it's called Cook's Bay. And James Cook, the navigator, came to track Venus. So there's a point there called Venus Point. And, you know, he had no charts. I mean, to give you an idea, he had frigate birds on board because frigate birds can't swim. So he'd let one go, and if it didn't come back. He knew there was land nearby. Mm. And he had pigs on board, and he'd let one go over the side. And if it swam, because they've got amazing smell, but if it swam in a direction, then he knew that's the way land was.
Did he follow the pig?
Then they recovered the pig. The pig got to do this many times.
Ah.
But he entered this atoll through a pass, which we used, you know, up-to-date navionics and GPS, at night with a boat that has no engine. And he didn't know...
And no charts.
No one had ever been there before, which is why it's called Cook's Bay. What is great about it was that a lot of these explorers, Bougainville and Cook, didn't go there to conquer. So they went to discover and trade. And indeed, that's why none of these are British protectorates. They ended up being French, but they weren't conquered. And I think that's a very important aspect of French colonies, is they're very open to visitors, to culture, to everything, because they haven't been enslaved. I mean, the missionaries tried to get them to do Christianity, but not very successfully.
All right, before we let you go, Karen, more information about the Royal Thames Yacht Club.
Yes, give us the website, you know, the URL for that. You know what? If everybody checks sailsporttalk.com and gives me about an hour, I will have a page up for Richard. We just put this together on the fly because we thought it would be great fun. And so I will put a page up and then everybody can read it, and there'll be lots of information about the Royal Thames and Richard.
Yeah, it was founded in 1775 in a coffee shop along, just like Lloyd's, the insurance business. Coffee shops were the place to be, and we've been going continuously ever since. So we think we're the oldest continuously operating yacht club in the world, and we're thriving today. We have 2,000 members spread across all continents, and a clubhouse. And of course, we welcome American sailors here to stay here. We have 32. Cabins, as we call them, to keep the nautical theme, and several restaurants. And so it's a great place to come and stay, right on Hyde Park in the heart of London.
Love it. That's Karen Lyle, SailsportTalk.com, Richard Ambler from the Royal Thames Yacht Club, the Chief Sailing Officer. Cheers, you guys. Have a great evening. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thank you for having us, Rick. And of course, I always like to see you on Tuesdays, Salesport Talk. And hello to all of our American Forces Network people out there in all countries of the world.
All right, let's take a quick break. We will come on back on Sports Byline USA.